we've been going through the core values of the church. For those of you that have been here, for every session, you'll notice by now that it's not just me up here downloading information. It's supposed to be more of a discussion, because we want to get to understand, right, the what, the why, the how. That's why these questions are kind of continuing that same pattern, right? It's why and how and what should we do if something's not, being played out in certain areas of the church. So that's kind of the objective of these discussions, to talk it out, to have an understanding collectively of what it is that drives the ministry of Providence Church, and we're all a part of that ministry, right? And I believe we left off last week with the community of grace, and the last question was, are there any areas where we do not see this play out in the life of Providence Church? And what should we do about it? And so we did discuss the community of grace. Living out the word requires community. Love, grace marks that community as the people of God. We see that the greatest commandment is to love God. And the second greatest commandment is to love our neighbor as ourself. And to fulfill this royal law, we must love one another, and we must be in that community. We can't love people from outside of the community, from far away. And then we talked about how we see this play out in the life of Providence Church and how we bear with one another, some more than others. And we discussed the church covenant, right? We discussed life groups. Right. We discussed, there it is again. How many was that? Was that my first one?
First I caught.
Okay, first you caught. All right, that's good. And we discuss that and how loving you guys are in calling these out for me. Not a conflict-free church, if you recall that, but a church that is set on resolving the conflicts, not walking away from them, and preserving that unity through the conflicts and how we resolve the conflicts in a way that honors God is the way it plays out in church. So we left off, what areas, right? Goodness. See, Jeff, now you got in my head. I was doing fine. It's his fault.
Do you want me to go back from the weekend? Because I counted over the weekend. I just
didn't know. That doesn't count.
I don't you didn't say, but I just counted.
Well,
I don't want to pull us too far afield, but did someone approach you and say, hey, you know, you do that a lot?
Yes.
Wow. I didn't have the courage to do that, so whoever...
That's what wives are for.
Yeah, it wasn't my wife. But.
Oh, bless her heart.
Yeah. I won't mention any names.
No. Could be any wife.
It could be any. It was a wife, just not my wife. Yeah. And didn't seem like she had a hard time. It was like, hey, I need to tell you this. Like, okay, well, thank you. I received the correction. Jeff, now I'm off track. Let's see. Back to the community of grace where we left off. Are there any areas in the life of Providence Church that we're not seeing the community of grace really flowing and working? And if there isn't anything, praise God, then we can move on to the next one. But I just want to make sure we cover that question, because it is an honest and it's a tough question. When we look at ourselves and we realize, hey, there's some areas in the church where the community of grace, we believe it, and we don't see it working out here.
We've only been here for 3 years, but, you know, I'm encouraged by when there are things that need to be brought to the congregation, we do bring them. We've been in churches that we've not seen that kind of allowing God to address it individually and as a group. And to me, that was dishonoring God. So I've only ever seen really good examples of that since we've been here. And to me, that just encourages me in my own personal walk, not just in the church, but in my relationships outside of the church. My own family, we have a lot of conflicts and have had a lot of conflicts. I'm known as the, what do you call it?
Peacemaker?
Peacemaker. I am the peacemaker.
Wait, what?
I was addressed that way by my mother.
Just because we go to church regularly.
What? No. Holy roller. Diabetic peacemaker.
Yeah.
That's something.
I'm changing my name plaque.
To what? Holy peacemaker?
No, diabetic.
Diabetic peacemaker.
I'm not as sweet, but I'm loving.
All right. He's got a slogan already.
But it's allowed me to identify why I'm the peacemaker in my family. And that's really, I mean, if I can get that out of what we do as a family and a congregation, you know, that's just so encouraging for anybody who can walk in that door and feel like, you know, this could be home for them. Mm-hmm. And they enjoy it and become members. And, you know, everybody has those struggles in their life. And to me, that's one of the best things so far that this church does, is we come together as a family. This is what mm-hmm. I wanted in my own family. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't got. So this is my family. And my family is teaching me how to deal with my other. So I'm very thankful.
I would also say that over the course of my life, people that are having big struggles, you know, people that are going through divorce and things like that, it's like when they need most the community of believers, they tend to stay away, whether it's they're ashamed or whatever. And I feel like having these discussions with the members in a way that's loving and accepting and helping to try to come alongside those people will encourage people in the future. It's like, this is where you need to be if you're having those struggles, so that you can be ministered to by our brothers and sisters in Christ. So that's very encouraging to me, too.
I would say it's I don't have any areas to address, but I think this flows out of, you know, the importance of the Word of God and the focus on grace in that, in everything that we do, that, you know, the Word is focused on Christ who showed grace. And these things flow, I think. Community of grace should come out of that. Mm-hmm. And from the community of grace then follows discipleship and ultimately looking beyond the church planting. So I think as long as we, you know, get the core right, even as we grow, we need to be intentional about being a community of grace. But if we continue to focus on the gospel and not on, you know, how I feel today or what my particular need is, you know, hopefully this will just be in the DNA of the church mm-hmm. as it continues to grow, and we won't have people who fall through the cracks. You know, that's what we really want to avoid, and why we have this discussion. We don't want anybody to fall, you know, to be unnoticed or not to feel this. Right. And so that's really, I think, the purpose for this. And I think these things will, one will grow out of the other. And it really begins with focus on the importance of the Word of God.
Amen. I mean, we think about how we were enemies of God, right? And through his, there he goes. We're enemies of God. He sought us out, and we've been reconciled with him. We have peace with God. And to not have that peace and harmony with each other, it doesn't make sense, right? Nah. I'm trying to get to number five. That's what I'm trying to do. I don't like the single little lines there. I want to see that.
Cleaning out several specks in our brother's eye here. Excuse my log.
I was going to say, I didn't see you behind that log there, Jeff. All right, well, praise God. Let's move to the disciples of the saints. And while I write that up here, will somebody read the discipleship of the saints part?
We actively strive to live as followers of Jesus, integrity throughout the Christian life, and equipping the saints for ministry.
So the first question is, again, we have to understand the why. Why do we have this as Providence Church as one of our core values? Sorry. So I'm a newcomer. I see Dave in here. I read his core values of this church. I'm like, Dave, why do you guys have the discipleship of the saints as a core value? What's that about? Or Jeff, why? Why does your church have discipleship of the saints as its core value? What's discipleship? What is it? Why do you guys have that in there?
It's part of the Great Commission.
Okay. Is that what you were going to say?
Yeah, more or less. But no, I was going to mention that, I mean, it's just as part of the foundational identity of what it actually means to be a church. It is to be a group of followers of Jesus. And if that's true, then we're lifetime learners.
Second Timothy 2:2. Paul says, things you've heard from me, teach the faithful men who will be able to teach others as well. So it's a continual process.
Or as they say in Canada, process.
Process.
Process. Process. I've heard they do.
Process.
Thing that has more recently come to my attention is there's so many people today that claim that they're a Christian, but they don't live that way. Since I became a believer, I identify myself as a Christian. But more recently, I'm a follower of Jesus. When I say that to myself now, Christian almost sounds like I've achieved something. I am a Christian. But when I say I'm a follower of Jesus, to me, I'm learning. I am following him. He is teaching me. And we not only have to disciple others, we have to continue allow Jesus to disciple us by following him and teaching us, because I've not achieved any certain level or a title. And to me, that has changed my thought process on calling myself a Christian. If I call myself a Christian, it just sounds like, oh, I've achieved a certain level and I'm good. I'm not good. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner when my eyes are open. I'm a sinner when my eyes are closed. So to me, that's part of the discipleship. Mm-hmm. I am following Jesus because he is teaching me every single day.
It calls us to devote ourselves.
And that we must be also disciples in that calling.
Amen. Well, you guys pretty much covered what I had as well. And if we look at Matthew chapter 28, we're not just going to read the Great Commission, but we're going to take a closer look at verse 19. So Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus has just said, "All authority in heaven and on earth hath been given to me." And he says here in verse 19, here's the command, go. That's a word I think that we skip over many times. It's go. Therefore, and what? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We believe this command. We believe it, and it is part of our core values because we hold on to this command that's given to us from Jesus. And in verse 20, we believe the command to make disciples is the way Jesus said, is teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So we believe the command to go and make disciples of all nations, and we believe that to make disciples by teaching them to obey everything that Christ has commanded us. And so in the wanting to teach and lead people to Christ, well, that's a really important thing here that we have to do, is we ourselves must first be following Christ and devote it to him to be able to disciple others, to know him and make him known. One of the things that I took out of the third session at the men's retreat, and one of the pastors was going over the flat assumption of sacrificial responsibility in the church, and it was in a church setting. And one of the things, and I guess I'd never thought about it this way, he says, you know, he opened up with the verse of, naked I came into this world, naked I'll leave, we're not going to take anything, right? And only two things make it out of this world.
You said right.
I did? There we go. He says, there's only two things that are going to make it out of this world. It's not going to be our accomplishments, it's not going to be our possessions, it's not going to be anything else. It's going to be God's people, who he has given them eternal life, and his word. That's it. Only two things make it out of this world. God's eternal word, and the people who he has given eternal life. So if the church is not about this, then really what are we doing? Which leads to the next question. Why is this important?
I think you cannot be a redeemed person without being a disciple. When you're first redeemed, and you use the analogy of a baby believer, all babies grow. And if they're not growing, there's something terribly wrong. The other thing is, you grow until you mature, and we will not be fully mature until we're with the Lord. So, for your whole life, you've got to be maturing, which means being a disciple of Jesus. And if you're not a disciple of Jesus, then you're probably not redeemed.
Yeah, but there's also the fact that there are people that get saved, and unfortunately they sit under bad ministries for many years.
Yes.
And they don't experience the growth simply because, you know, what's being preached is, you know, you go to churches and it's always the same thing over and over again. You got to get saved, you got to get saved. And the problem becomes is, yes, I'm saved, so what?
Yeah, right.
What next?
Now what?
Mike, that's a great point, because that's exactly what I had here in my first bullet point. Discipleship compels us. We must answer the question, how then shall we live? Right?
I think as believers too, we should always have, I mean, maybe it's been said a reference to in the conversation here, but we should have a two circles. I mean, obviously we're a church, we mingle with each other, fellowship, but it's a circle we can minister to and edify it and lift it up by people wiser and in the Lord, and also be sharing and discipling others at the same time. So it's like that balance, I think, is what we all need to kind of strive to have. You know, either have some sort of mentor, a guide, leader, a spiritual father, and then also be helping others as we preach the word, whether non-believers or new believers, etc.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. No, we have to answer the question, how then shall we live? And somebody has to be asking us that question. How are you going to live, X? I got to ask somebody else, how are you going to live?
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes. And we don't have time to go through the verses that I have written down here, but you can write them down, look at them later to help with that question, how then shall we live? Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, a very popular verse, but look at the ending of 16 and 17, especially the ending of verse 17. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. It's also important because it's a means of what, edifying the body. We're discipleship. We're discipling others. We're being discipled. We're being edified. My brother Bob was saying we're growing, and growing in a healthy way. You have to eat good food. You have to, right? We're learning that, right, Dave?
That's
learning
exactly
that too.
What was in my mind right then.
You can't eat junk food and then wonder why I can't grow in a good healthy way. And maybe we're being fed junk food from the pulpit, right? And there it is again. And it's a predicament that many people find themselves in. They can't grow in a good, healthy way. We also can't be equipped if we're not being discipled or discipling. The equipping of the body for ministry. Again, Ephesians chapter 4. For that, I would look at verses 17 through 24. Now, how do we see this play out in the life of the church? The Providence Church. We've talked about it. We all agree. We believe it. It's there. We can read it. Now, how does it play out in the life of Providence Church?
Part of what you're doing right now, and then also when
Sunday
evenings.
The what?
Part of what you're doing right now.
And the
is teaching.
The
Wednesday evenings.
Wednesday evening.
No.
Not that Sunday morning worship isn't important.
Wednesday nights. How else?
And the future women's Bible study.
Women's and yep.
One thing I would say is, you know, we're talking about the Great Commission, and people pointed out we're commanded to make disciples, and the therefore go is often translated as you are going, make disciples, and lifestyle. And I see it played out around the campfire at a men's retreat, some ladies having lunch when they're intentionally talking about the things of God and what impacted you from this or that. That's just living intentionally.
I think all of those things involve a commitment to other people, mm-hmm. commitment to be in the Bible study, commitment to come out to retreat even though it's cold, and commitment to meet somebody for coffee or something, and to be willing to be a listener and just be there for other mm-hmm. brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to say, Lori, isn't it, than to actually follow through on that commitment.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we get intimidated mm-hmm. because we don't have a formal, these are the seven steps of discipleship in our pocket when we go to lunch.
You don't have that? All right, here. Let me give you a copy.
But oftentimes, people just need to learn from our lives or what we have experienced, or this has been important to me and this passage spoke to me, or whatever. Sometimes just a piece of advice given, and it's not always a formal, discipleship setting.
You know, I was just thinking about that too, Rex, how I've had conversations here, with many brothers, we've, over time, maybe at one sitting, that have been very encouraging and have mm-hmm. edified me and equipped me in a sense as well. Yep. So, that being able to be vulnerable and expose yourself and open up yourself with a brother or a sister, that also is how I've seen it played out. Yeah. Just interacting with brothers that are willing to give me a little pow-pow where I need it or encourage me when I need it to. So.
Through sharing the struggles in my that I may have been in, the things that have impacted me in my life, being able to open up and share that is discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you take it to what does God have to say about this. This is what I went through, but it's not, I shouldn't just get, it's not my opinion that counts. My opinion is this is what I went through and what does God say about that? And pointing them to God's word.
Amen. There are, I'm sorry?
I saw that played out so well with you guys with Bill. He was older than all of you, children, afraid to speak truth into his life.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, watching that all through the years, it was just beautiful how you guys came. Because he was a late convert to Christ, late in life, so he struggled with many things that you guys weren't afraid to speak to him about, and he loved and appreciated you guys for that. And I told him often, I said, you are so fortunate to have these men in your life that are willing to help you and help you grow in Christ. And that meant the world to him, and it meant the world to me too.
And we just met for coffee. That's it. Right? It doesn't have to be, I got to wait for the retreat to talk to this brother, or I got to wait for a campfire. That might not happen, especially in Florida.
Yeah.
I mean, when are you going to have a campfire? So you got to wait for those couple days of the year to be able to do this. But this, that we can do anytime. And that was at Dunkin' Donuts. And there was times where I felt like Bill's not going to come back. He's not. We had some tough conversations, and it's encouraging to hear that.
But I can tell you, I didn't know Bill at that point. So getting to meet him, even after his conversion. He poured into me.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. he discipled
yeah.
me just by the relationship that I was able to establish in the short time that I got to know him. So again, he was discipled, but then his life became a discipleship and touched others.
You know, I
definitely attested it.
I saw that, and I didn't quite put a finger on it until you said it right now, that I remember now that in the beginning Bill was a little bit, you know, but then after those meetings, he was the one to reach out to the new people that would come in.
Yeah.
Especially the men, right? And yeah. that's what he did.
Yep. Right.
Yeah. Oh, we're not doing good this morning. It's all that smoke from the campfire. It's a lot. I would say the children's Bible study, the baggies for the kids. If you don't know this, because maybe you don't have kids, they try to put material in those bags that actually align with the sermon for that Sunday. So they might be there coloring and doing some activity, but we do our best to try to align whatever's in there with what's happening up here. And one of the things we discussed around the campfire is how the kids listen as they're coloring and they're reading this and they're doing the activity, and that's a way of discipling our children. The giving of books. This church, you need a book, you can have it. No questions asked. And we encourage you guys to take books. I've been given books, and I've been using the On Your Heart that was given by Pastor X up here just a couple of Sundays ago. And it's been a blessing in our family devotion. Organic Bible studies that just pop up. I think I got myself into this one. I decided to share a book that Bill and I actually were supposed to go through, and we didn't get a chance. And so I put it in the men's chat and said, look, this is a book that Bill and I were going to go through. You guys can get a copy, and why don't we all read it? That was my only suggestion. Let's all read it. I'll read it. You read it over there. And next thing I know, somebody's like, who's going to lead the study? I'm like, oh, this is not a study? This is a book you read and I read. And next thing you know, we're meeting in LaBelle with guys from Clewiston, and we're leading a Bible study or over this book. And things like that happen here in Providence Church. It's great to see where, you know, some women, you know, be like, hey, there's this book, and other women, hey, let's get together. And next thing you know, there's a Bible study that wasn't even planned. It just happened because members are encouraging each other to read and to grow and to mature. And one last point I think I have to mention here is that we do have very, very, you know, seasoned Christians that are studied or have years of Bible knowledge. And believe you me, they offer their time to help other members who are seeking to grow. All you have to do is reach out. That's all you got to do. And we keep getting more members like that, right? We keep getting new members who come with backgrounds of well-studied areas of Bible topics and subjects and literature, and they're willing to give their time.
For a church of our size, we're crazy spoiled.
We are.
With scholarship. Mm-hmm. In our midst, and I never get a kind of an arrogant vibe from these gentlemen who could easily pull off an arrogant vibe if they
for
wanted
sure.
to.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a personal experience.
Oh yeah.
That we came from in a very large church. Even though it was a large church, we had our adult Bible classes. And that's where we did more of our teaching and that. And we had strong people who studied the Word. But there was a couple that it was very...
Almost like, why are we wasting our time with you if you're not putting in the same time and effort we are?
Oh.
You don't know what we
there was know. No, it was a teaching. Mm-hmm. It was a teaching, and it was, it really was pushing me away. Mm. It was very difficult. Very difficult. Because I felt judged every single time I walked in. So, even though, like you said, we have a lot of scholars of the ministry, it's how you present that. Mm-hmm. And again, we're spoiled because we have a lot of great presenters. Not just that they're good stewards with God's word.
And should you be like me, like an introvert, and you have a hard time reaching out? There's a church library, in case you didn't know.
You were talking about this. You mentioned a lot of different activities going on, and I think that illustrates one of the things about discipling, whether it's yourself helping someone else, is we're trying to become more like Christ. And I think I can show this in the New Testament, certainly true in my life. You may have to disciple yourself or others on the same point over and over again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know?
That continual process that Pastor Rex was talking about.
The same issue may have to be addressed and addressed and addressed in different. Well, that's why it needs to be throughout everything we do.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's why discipleship of the saints is important, is because we can't get that just by ourselves, not in the same way. Yes, we can study and we should study, but we need to iron sharpen iron idea.
That's the part of the united that God's the core of. If he's the center, then we're going to be united in that.
There's that some kind of proverb. I think it's a African proverb, or there's no author specific to it, but I'm probably going to butcher it. But it says something that I think it has some wisdom that applies to what we're talking about right now. Is that you want to go fast? You go by yourself. You can do that, right? I'm just going to study. I'm going to read all these books. But if we want to go farther, we have to go together, and that's what we're trying to do. This is a marathon. This is not a sprint. We're not trying to get there tomorrow. We're walking through this together. And so the why should we care part, I think we've pretty much covered it. Without asking a question, we've kind of answered it. Discipleship creates that unity in prayer. You get close to somebody. How are we going to share what we need or what we're going through if we're not close with somebody in discipleship? It's not going to happen. I don't know some people's needs because we don't get close. And so that closeness and discipleship creates and fosters that hey, I need this. Now we're both praying for the same thing. And then because we're praying for the same thing, we can also get close and kind of confess what we're going through. Confession of sin. There's accountability. So we should care because we want to be united in prayer. We want to be confessing our sins to one another. We want to be accountable to each other. It happens through discipleship. It doesn't happen from long distance.
That's the heart of Christ-like, genuine discipleship. Care.
You know? Yep. Let's look at Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Real quick. Acts chapter 6, verse 7, we're in the early church phase. And what stood out to me here is, why don't we start at verse 6? It says, these they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid hands on them. So this is in the beginning. This is right before Stephen, the first martyr, is about to give a sermon that is like no other and is going to die for the cause of Christ. He'll be the first one there. But verse 7 says, "And the word of God continued to increase." I thought about this verse, like, what if it just said that, right? There we go again. What if it just said, "The word of God continued to increase"? And then moved on to the next thing. It doesn't. Let's read that again. It says, "And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of priests became obedient to the faith." If there's a growing of the knowledge of the word of God, and there's no disciples growing, and there's no growth in the people, and there's none of the other stuff that's supposed to be happening is happening, well, something's not right. So discipleship is the means by which we grow in amount and number, and we grow inwardly in obedience to the faith. And so we should care because we want to see the body of Christ here in Lehigh, here in Providence Church, practicing what we believe to be God's commandment to the church. Now, are there any areas where we don't see this play out? Here in Providence.
I almost think it's more of a personal question of, are there any areas there that I don't see in my own life?
Mm. You're right, Priscilla. If anything, when we discuss how it plays out in the life of Providence, we see a lot of activity. And if you're wondering, well, how come I don't see it? That's probably because we're not plugging in.
It needs to be an ongoing assessment of how are we doing in this area. Mm-hmm. Because we may develop some complacency. Oh, we're doing good. And then...
And it's so easy to get busy and just, well, I don't have time. And one of the things that we learned at the men's retreat is the object of our treasure, the object of our time should be the only one who is worthy of our time and of our heart and of our attention. That is Christ. And if we treasure Christ, we treasure his people. And if we treasure his people, we want to dedicate time and... And there's a lot of men in the men's retreat that I think came out of there with an accountability partner, correct me if I'm wrong, that are also going to go over books together. That was amazing. There's people that I never thought were going to connect are now like connecting, and hey, yeah, we're going to go through a book together as men. So we got these little pairs of twos. And I think this is something that we can all do as a church. Even if you didn't go to the retreat, find someone, look for a book that you believe is going to help with your growth, and whether it be a book from the Bible or be a book on a subject that goes along with what you can find in Scripture that helps you on that topic. Find someone. Reach out to somebody. Get in there to get discipled, so that you can then disciple others and continue on this process of discipleship. Because those are the two things that we should be about: God's word, God's people. Don't wait for somebody to reach out to you. Reach out to someone and say, I need to be close to someone. I need that accountability. My brother-in-law and I, we're going to go through a book. And it came out in the men's retreat that we're family. We have dinner time together at times, but they were so busy, we don't really see each other. When we do, it's he's picking up the girls, I'm picking up my kids, and we're going our own separate ways. And we decided we're going to go through a book together, which is a really good thing that came out of the men's retreat. So it will be some discipleship there. And... last night when we were discussing how we're going to do this, because he does have a very demanding schedule, he brought up an interesting point, which, again, if you want to find a way to meet with somebody, you're going to find it. And he says, you know, we can meet through Zoom or through Microsoft Teams. I'm like, you know, I didn't even think about that. Because you think family, we have to meet in the same place. It doesn't have to always work out that way. So our plan for now is to go over the book together and meet online through webcam, meet together for some coffee and go over the book together. But if you want to do it, you can. There's always a way. Whether it's FaceTime, whether it's a phone call, it doesn't have to be visual, although it helps to see the other person, but it can be a phone call. It could be a Zoom meeting. It could be a Teams. It could be meeting here at church. It could be anything, meeting at Dunkin' Donuts or coffee. So I would just encourage everybody to just continue to play this out, continue to live this out, and you'll be blessed. Right?
Right.
Amen.
Even 10.
I just needed to close out that time. So let's go ahead and pray. And not walk away just guilty, but walk away convicted in a way where like, Lord, we're gonna get back in there. We're gonna do this. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the your work in the church, the men's retreat that was such a blessing to the men. We pray that we will continue to just encourage each other and hold each other accountable, and to disciple one another and to reach out to new believers, newcomers, to reach out to our brothers and sisters. Lord, that I pray that you would stir in us, in each and every heart and mind in this place, to just reach out and love and connect with people and to plug in, whether it be online, phone, FaceTime, Dunkin' Donuts, whatever it is, or even coming over to each other's houses. We pray, Lord, that this would happen as we continue to grow. And we look forward to being established here in Lehigh on William Street. And so we pray, Lord, that you would move our hearts, move our minds. We pray that your word would not return void, and it would, Lord, just multiply in the people that will be here in this specific church and in the local church of Providence. And we pray, Lord, that that you would be glorified. Help us to practice what we believe, and help us to be about the two things, Lord, that matter most, and that is your word and your people. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.